The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
I'm a nightclub. Literally at the end of the world. This is Michael C. Rupert. I'm back again. It is Sunday, the 25th of September 2011. And holy smokes, if you're a regular and you've been following my work for some time, I don't have to tell you how serious things are out there right now and how ominous. And we are at a place where everything, and I mean everything, is just racing toward this center spot in a game of chicken, and things look to be deteriorating very quickly. We're going to talk about a lot of that tonight. It's just you and me tonight, guys. I've missed you guys, and it's just us tonight. So if you want to call in, the number is 1-888-874-4888, and you can email me direct at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. For those of you in New York, if you've been looking at the CollapseNet page yesterday, we came across many videos of pretty nasty confrontations taking place in New York with the Occupy Wall Street march, which has not turned out big numbers. But what you see from these tapes is that everybody's on a hair trigger now, burned out. The cops are provoking. There's one incredible video of a woman who's not attacking anybody, standing behind a barricade, just being pepper sprayed for no reason. And you can see the tensions out there. And you have to remember, I was a cop, and I've seen several riots, including the Rodney King insurrection in Los Angeles in 1992. And everybody's on edge. And to back that up, we have must-see video also of a police student confrontation at UC Berkeley, which was scary. And I went to UCLA from 1969 through 1973, and we had the admin building was occupied many, many times, Murphy Hall, at UCLA, by students protesting the Vietnam War, and there was some violence. There were broken windows and there was glass, but I think what I saw at UC Berkeley yesterday scared me more, because you can read both there and in the videos from New York City the anger in the faces of the young people who are out there, and in the cops, and the cops doing some really dumb things. And so we are clearly on the edge. That at the same time that the Fed has exhausted all of its ammunition in the fight to stimulate the economy. It has no more bullets left. It's kind of in the same position that the Japanese put themselves into in the 90s, and currently. And there's just nothing left for the Fed to do. At the CollapseNet this week on the World News Desk, we've had several stories that literally said that all power to do anything about the economy at this point rested with Congress. Congress is going on vacation. And not only is Congress going on vacation, the U.S. fiscal year ends on the 30th of the month, which is next Friday. And if there is no continuing resolution passed by Congress and sent to President Obama, then the U.S. government shuts down on October 1st. Needless to say, for those of us who have been at this for a while, it's very obvious that there's a plan being put into place, and it has nothing to do with what we're being told. At the same time, the European, comedic train wreck is in full swing. And over the weekend, we've also posted all these stories on the World News Desk at CollapseNet, and also in homepage breaking news. that everybody's screaming at Europe to do something and Europe can't do anything, and the alarms are going off at the highest levels about a global crash. We mesh that with the fact, knowing of course that Europe is toast, that Greece is going to default, with many stories that we've put up over the last 3-4 days showing that the Chinese economy is in deep trouble. There is no region that is not affected. And what is very clear to me is that they're going to bring, if you will, everything down, or most everything down, this next big hard rung down collapse, more or less together. But at the same time, we are not, by any stretch of the imagination, out of the woods with regard to global conflict. I'm a little less concerned, believe it or not, about Israel than I was last week. I think the Palestinian issue in New York City is going to take weeks to get movement on, and everybody's mobilized. And we had one scary story showing that the Jewish Defense League had hired French mercenaries to go defend Israeli settlers in occupied territory in their illegal settlements. That really scared me. But I think that's gonna stay near boiling for a while. I don't think the plug's being pulled on that. The U.S. deadline to leave Iraq is still firmly in place, December 31st, and there has been no movement that we could see a collapse net on that front. And in the South China Sea, the area that so concerned me when I was writing Crossing the Rubicon and From the Wilderness, however, tensions are really building. Let me give you a couple of examples of that. We had a story from the Wall Street Journal yesterday. India shrugs off China warnings on oil exploration. Now, what it is that India has signed an oil exploration pact with Vietnam, which is contesting the South China Sea and the sea lane through which all the oil passes for Japan, the Philippines, China, and Korea. And India is backing Vietnam against China, Japan, the Philippines, Brunei, you know, Taiwan, whoever. But clearly, tensions are escalating there. And within 2 decades, India will pass China as the most populous nation on Earth. Both countries have nuclear weapons, and I would expect a strong reply from China, because China issued an ultimatum to India saying, don't contest us in South China Sea. That's an attack on our sovereignty. Very bellicose word. And India just shrugged it off. And so I would expect the next move would be China to deploy a naval task force to the region. The Japanese are already rewriting their constitution, allowing them to militarize at a greater pace, even though they're broke. That was another big story we had over the weekend, that the Japanese economy is on the verge of implosion as well because they can't handle any more debt. So author Stephen Gill, who was featured on Yahoo News, we have a story up on the World News Desk or on CollapseNet right now that I recommend everybody look at. U.S. War with China Inevitable, author Stephen Glane says. It's from Yahoo News yesterday, but there's a great video there. And he sees all the same problems that I was seeing 7 years ago and is very certain that a war is imminent there, and I would give that now the ranking for being the hottest spot in the world as far as potential for conflict goes. With regard to Iraq, of course, that'll all change come December 31st if we haven't left. We got some questions coming in. I'll get to those in just a second. I want to give you guys some more here. Whatever agendas being pursued vis-a-vis Europe, now China, and Japan is being hidden. In other words, I've made this observation before. For most of my career, I was predicting the what, and I was getting it wrong. Not wrong. I was off a little bit as to the when, plus or minus. Certainly, a record I'm proud of, but now I'm in a situation where the when is very easy to describe, but it's the what that we don't know. And that's why we have to all keep our eyes open now, and I have to re-stress again how important it is to refrain from violence and mass violent civil unrest for as long as possible. Everybody has a breaking point. I mean, in the military, they teach that if you are captured, you will talk eventually, and just as it's true in the same way, I think that there is a point at which the fires underneath the boiling frog are going to provoke violence. I just hope we can hold off from that for as long as possible, because these idiots are really, really looking stupid right now, and I think they're desperate, and I think we all just have to now watch and see what they're going to do next. All right, let's take a question first. We'll come back. I got other stories we can talk about in a little bit. Okay, I'm going to pass that one because it was a link. Okay, we have a question. I watched this is from Robert Cook. I watched a movie recently called Gas Hole. It discussed, among other things, how the auto industry has suppressed technology to extend gas mileage to 150 miles per gallon and more. I feel this is implausible for several reasons. For example, wouldn't the military be using this to give them an edge? Yes, they would. And trust me, some staff sergeant mechanic is not going to keep anything like that a secret after he gets out of the service. That would have been impossible to hide. Anyway, given your investigative background, I was curious if you had researched the validity of these rumors. And I've spent about all the time I want to with that, Robert, simply because, number one, I have never seen any definitive proof that such technology existed. That passed the test that we had back on From the Wilderness. Has it been peer reviewed? Can we demonstrate it? Can I see it? All of that stuff. But it wouldn't make any difference now anyway. It's too late for that. We are in the collapse of human industrial civilization, and I don't think we have a gizmo we can put on your 2007 GMC Yukon. That'll get you 150 miles per gallon is not going to change the outcome of where we're going now. I wish it would be different. Okay, we've got a question from Smbobboost. Okay, I love the names. S-M-B-O-B-S-T. Hi. Vanishing bees and colony collapse disorder. Interesting analogy and case study, huh? Anything new on this topic to share? I haven't heard much about bees for a while. That doesn't mean that there hasn't been anything happening. I just haven't seen it. I know that it was an extremely serious problem. And then I heard that some bee colonies were coming back, and I don't know what's happened. I do know that where I live in Sebastopol, we got all our crops in the ground. Our next door neighbor has hives, and all his bees are always over in my garden, and we love that. The bees are cool. If anybody's got anything new on bees, you can email that in tonight during the show. Maybe we'll get it up. Okay, we have a question from Aaron McCarthy. Hi, Aaron. I'm 31, born in 1980, and I wonder why I meet the date for responsibility for this global mess, according to you. You don't, dude. I honestly don't feel responsible for this mess. I was on the USS Carl Vinson when 9/11 happened. Thank you for your service. We dropped 3 million pounds of ordnance. When we got back to the States, I went UA, that's unauthorized absence, and missed ship's movement. I turned myself in 28 days later after having smoked a lot of grass. That makes sense. I did this because I was adamantly opposed to what we were doing. I'm just curious why you set the date for responsibility in 1980. I understand you had to pick a date. I'm just curious why you chose that date. Aaron, I had heard some other, seen some other writings by people who are very aware of collapse and the need for a change in human consciousness, and they had started referring to a generation under 30, so I just kind of latched on to that. But I'm sure everybody understands what I'm saying. I know you didn't have anything to do, and quite frankly, I think you got some big ones, and I salute what you did. Because what we were doing was bullshit, and you couldn't live with that, and that's a very good sign of honor and something worthy of respect. It ain't personal for you, man. I'm not cutting it off like that. I'm just making the metaphor in the picture. Okay, maybe it's time we should do a song, I don't have a lot of time to spend on new music, but some is coming my way, and we featured. the song December by the same artist, Metaphorist, who also goes by, and she is also a screenwriter who wrote the script for a great movie out of Scotland called Whiteout, and I hope they're getting a distribution deal somewhere. It was a really good movie. But she's also a very talented musician, and we've heard some of her songs. She's very much connected to what we talk about on the Lifeboat Hour, and she's really got that good vibe. So this is a song by her. We actually accidentally started to play that at the beginning of the show, but this is a song called The Wanderer.
If you fall in the forest, will you make a single sound when there are trees to hear you? Will you ever be found? I told my brother to be careful. I told my sister to stay at home. But I can't force you not to wander, not to ramble and roam. Oh, when the night comes, you better find some shelter. There is no mercy in the dark. Oh, if I could have, I would have held her before the devil made his mark. When I am sleeping, come back and see me. I will know you in the black. If I am leaving, because I have been, then my wonder is back.
Pretty good, huh? It's Metaphorist, M-E-T-A-P-H-O-R-E-S-T. You Google it and you'll find her immediately. And I sure hope they get that somebody to pick up that movie Whiteout. It's a really good movie. And man, we might be at the end of the movie by the time it ever gets seen by anybody. There's a little irony in there for the director, Laurie Brewster. Hey, Aaron, who sent in the email. Listen, dude, I want to... if you are a member of Collapse Net, we're going to extend your membership for a year, and if you're not, we're going to give you a free membership. You're the kind of guy we want in our lifeboat. My assistant Max will be emailing you. I appreciate that. Okay. All right. So we got another quote. Got questions coming in from Cindy Blackshear. What events, in your opinion, should we be watching for in the next couple of weeks? I personally have some travel plans in the near future which I'd like to complete, but I'm increasingly uncomfortable with going too far from home, like across the continent. Thanks for all you do. Man, that is exactly the way I feel right now. And that's because of what is uncertainty on my part, and you know, from looking at the map of exactly what's coming. It's pretty apparent that the civil unrest is could happen at any instant now. But the economic events, which are certain to happen, to take place, of the, especially the turmoil that's coming in the markets, you know, it's, who knows what the emotional reactions to that will be, but we also have to see how this is announced, how it's played out, what happens when the government shuts down, week after next. And I'm not going anywhere. And as a matter of fact, I just put out a members-only video update, an emergency action alert for CollapseNet members. And one of the things I said was, don't travel now. Stay close to home, double-check everything, and keep your antenna out. That's the best thing you can do. Anyway, okay, we're coming up, we're doing 621. All right, 1-888-874-4888. If you want to ask me a question, talk about something, what's on your mind, or email me at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. That'll come straight to me. So, with all of that said, and with all this stuff kind of looming, we can also feel the tension. Now, I'm wondering why Congress is going on vacation and why Barack Obama's leaving town on a trip next week, and why the European Parliament is kind of taking a break when all these deadlines are falling due very quickly. Something else that I have noticed as well, and I kind of talked about this in my speech in Portland a couple on September 11th, is that there's an amazing uptick in the level of propaganda and if you will, mind control that is being put out right now. A lot of money being spent to do what I consider to be very low quality work. And all of the kinds of tries to address the message that we in Peak Oil, the Lifeboat Movement, Transition Movement, Zeitgeist Movement, all of us, you know, the Ron Paul supporters have been saying, the typical poison pill stuff. And the hands are being shown. People are lining up. I got an email this morning about a new movie that's supposed to be coming out called, was it Thrive? And it has the same quality as some of the Alex Jones propaganda flicks we've been putting out. And you look at Thrive, and the host is a guy named, I think it's Steve Gamble, who is a direct heir of Procter & Gamble. It's his money. It's his movie. And who do we find in it? We find Amy Goodman, who works for Rupert Murdoch at Dow Jones Newswires. We find Daniel Sheehan, the lawyer who did the Christic Institute lawsuit, among other things, one of the last people to see Karen Silkwood alive, the guy who destroyed a great case into the murder of Marine Colonel Jim Sabo, who I outed as a CIA operative from the wilderness in black and white with tons of evidence. And Catherine Austin Fitz is in there. And nice of her to finally show her hand. We have not had contact since 2006. When she was trying to acquire control from the wilderness so that she could stop publication of the Tillman story. That's when we parted ways on that. So it's a fine cast of characters in this movie, but it's and Stephen Greer of Disclosure Project, you know, and the trailer says that the whole premise is that the aliens have given us unlimited energy, and this technology exists. And that they can overturn the evil corporate thing with this alien space technology. I kid you not. And so I'm just sitting back kind of laughing because this is kind of desperate. Now, these are all packaged up like real high dollar, high financed films. But I looked at the website for this, and it's going to be a net release just like the Zeitgeist film was, and I doubt if they'll have the same numbers that Zeitgeist did. And yet it's amazing how much effort and work they're putting in to try to hide collapse, to try to hide Peak Oil, to try to hide the fact that it's infinite growth, to try to hide that it's the way money works that's killing everything. I mean, they have controlled everything for so long, but you know, even though Fitz and I have parted company, she had a great line once. Said, those who win in a rigged game get stupid. And yes, indeed. And, I mean, I just looked at who was in this movie, and I just started laughing. And you know what? I think that there are so many of us out here now who really are seeing this picture clearly that we all should be laughing, because these attempts are lame. Just lame. Okay, grief. I just did that little thing, and I wanted to talk about that. We've got a whole bunch of questions. Great. I'm really glad to hear from you guys. I'm going to take one, then we're going to go to a station break, then we'll come back, spend the rest of our time together. This is from Chris Stuberg. I have a 2000 Honda Insight Hybrid, which can get 100-plus with careful driving. So the technology for IMPGs has been around for over a decade. All this brings another question. In the 70s, the speed limit was brought down to 55. Could we eventually see a move to slower speed limits in order to save on gas? Okay, well, your Honda Insight Hybrid, yes, acknowledge that that does. In a sense, the technology does. The way that's always been posed was... you know, in cars like we have known them, you know, with horsepower towing and all that stuff. But yes, it's not going to make any difference now. And that really is the same thing as your question on the speed limit. In my book, Confronting Collapse, which came out at the same time as the documentary did, one of my points was to immediately reduce the speed limit to 55 miles an hour and make it a matter of law and national priority. You will never see that happen now, and it will not make a difference. We have so far passed the point where anything like that could change the outcome of what we're going through now. I mean, I think it's a fundamental mistake for people to assume that government is a paradigm is what you think about before you think about it. You automatically think that you have to do things by government and passing laws. In case you haven't noticed, man, government's broken. It ain't working no more. Okay, from Jess Stanley. Mike, what do you think they stand to gain by a rapid collapse and mass death? Would the smaller population simply be easier to control? It's more complicated than that, Jeff. They are milking the system to the limits to find out also in finding out what the breaking points are. And clearly what the point that I think that we're at now is that all of the infinite growth banksers, central banks around the world and BIS and all of those gangs, I think that they realize that they've worn the machine out. And so what they're going to do is shut it down. I don't think that... I certainly think that the peak oil movement, all of us who have been doing this for a decade or more, have had a serious influence on some of their decisions. We don't know what they are. I don't think that they're necessarily trying to choose a fast crash unless they are trying to preserve infrastructure. But what we're witnessing is that these guys play with forces that are also very big, and they're also playing with spirit. They aren't in full control. They're playing with Mother Earth. She has more control than they do. So I think to a certain extent, these guys are driving an out-of-control vehicle down a mountain road, going off cliffs, and getting all banged up, and they're believing that they're in control. But I think, and this is the point I made in my Portland speech, is that we have to shut them down before they kill us all. We have to take their hands off the steering wheel. And that's the only way we can really mitigate what appears to be upon us right now. We're right at the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to set up for a station break here. And then we'll come back, and I've got 6 more questions. Good to hear from you guys tonight. And this is the song that we're going to wrap around the commercial break is called Running on Rumor, which is one of the ones I wrote with New White Trash. And when we come back, I'm going to play like the whole first verse because I think the words are really appropriate for where we are tonight. Anyway, we'll be back right after this message.
Who's driving this train wreck? Yeah, we already know. Into the sunset. The fire's last glow. Was that the red light in the burn of the coal? City at the sun. Can we get off now? It's the end of the road. City at the sun. Ain't it funny when all you know has been turned out a bit like shaken, bacon, freeze dried, deep fried, and caramelized. It all tastes the same. Turned out a bit like shaken, bacon, freeze dried, deep fried, and caramelized. It all tastes the same.
Deep fried and caramelized. Yes, indeed. That just seems really appropriate to all the crap we're hearing about how was the 72nd time they've rewritten the words of the new plan to save Europe, among other things. and the seafood from the Gulf of Mexico is safe to eat. Jeff Stanley writes in, did you know that Obama will be deep underground in Denver taking part in an emergency exercise this week? Well, first of all, no, I don't know that to be true. I did see a story on that that was from a very questionable source. Horrible misspellings at first, and it had all the feel of a right-wing subnormal in the information site. And who do I find that they sourced on the story but a guy named Sorsha Fall, F-A-A-L, who is not really named Sorsha Fall. I got the real name someplace, who is an absolute, total, known, and recognized disinformation agent. And disinformation, in order to be effective, has to be 90% plus accurate. Otherwise, you will not spoil that one little pill with the fatal drug in it that's going to kill you. So as soon as I saw Sorsha Fall on that story about Denver, I said, I'm putting it aside. I'm not going there. No, I do know Obama's leaving town. But I haven't seen any other confirmation on an exercise in Denver, but anything that I see connected to Sorsha Fall or any of the disinformation right-wing sites that we recognize a collapse net instantly as disinformation, we don't touch it. You know, unless we can get, as serious journalists do, independent corroboration from two solid sources where we have names and we know documents. That's why CollapseNet, and before that From the Wilderness, was so accurate all the time, and why nobody ever sued us, and why we got things right. And so we stick to that map. It's worked for us for a long time. We have a question from Fabian Calvo. As the Middle East chaos spreads and collapse unfolds, do you think that U.S. troops could be left behind over there? God, I hope not. But I would give it a low possibility, low probability, excuse me. I think we would be smart enough to, if the U.S. abandoned troops like the Lost Legions in Rome. See, we live in a world where media covers everything, and the world would know about it. So I don't think the U.S. will do that. I really don't. From Pablo Pinero, unless there was a squiggly over the top, and in which case it's Pinero, but hola, Pablo. ¿Cómo está? Hi, Mike. Wanted to know your opinion about the following when you talk about this chicken game. I think you mean who falls first. Europe, China, do you think the U.S. and China can get together to rule the world? Is that because Europe is out of the game? Sorry for my English. I do better Spanish. I do better English. Pero no es un problema. Okay, I think you're looking at it wrong. The planet, the world, all governments are run by banks. And the banks, central banks, and the biggest banking families decide what governments do for the most part. They are able to decide which countries get funding to build up their military and which countries have economic crises so they can't. They also, I have no doubt, control most of military events and attacks, and also economically. So this is not, that is a sleight of hand trick to think it's the U.S. versus Europe versus China, in the sense that the hand that's controlling everything now is the hand of money, and money serves only itself, not a region or a government. So the U.S. and China could make all the treaties they wanted to, but if there was more money to be made by some other arrangement for the central banks, then that's what would happen. We are seeing that pretty nakedly now, and that's what we're going to see next week. Europe is definitely going down, but there's some real hard bargaining going on in Europe, and a great deal will be decided. That doesn't mean Europe will be out of the game. You don't know what's going to be lurking in the rubble there in Europe, as I've been saying clearly at CollapseNet, I think that everything is being brought down at once. The U.S. is coming down too. You've been watching the Dow, you've been watching all the warnings, and if Europe comes down, U.S. comes down, and China's coming down anyway. And so that's the most alarming thing to me is the coordination of this. I do think it's I would do it rather than risk an uneven collapse, which would guarantee more wars. But I know that they're not doing it for the same reasons I would. from Josh Stern. Hi, Josh. Been a listener for a while now. I'm 21 and currently enrolled in college. I have been finding people at my school who understand what is going on. We actually met at Transition Chicago. We had Transition US on last week. Anyway, we have a large sailboat, 40 feet. We all saved up and bought it for safekeeping, but we are seriously questioning whether it is the right time to set sail and find a safe place. Where do you think we should head? When should we come back? And how do we tell our parents? It's really depressing to think about leaving behind my whole life, but the friends around me will help. Oh, that was a good letter, Josh. Thanks. My assistant, Max Mogher, wonderful guy, is a sailor, and he has a little boat, about a 30-footer, and we focused on making the boat ready as an escape vehicle as needed. And you should have time, you and all your friends, should be able to get to the boat in the event of major civil unrest. You should have a little time to get there and get out of where you're at. The big problem is I would spend most of your time just outfitting the boat, getting emergency supplies on board, making sure that your electrical is good, just, you know, making that boat as seaworthy and as ready for anything as possible. And there's a lot of wisdom on that. And you can find more on that in the lifeboat, the lighthouse directory at Collapse.net. That's free. And we also have some great blogs on that, too, for our members. So spend your time getting the boat ready to go. Now, as to where, that's a much tougher problem, and it's tougher because we don't know where the problem's coming from next. There is no place to hide. Again, what I have said over and over again in my speech is what you don't need now is a plan. What you need are options. And what a sailboat offers is tons of options. So you want to make sure that you've downloaded all the charts that you need to go just about anywhere in the world, so that whether it's a radiation cloud from Fukushima or a war erupts in the South China Sea with a nuclear exchange, or we lose all 6 reactors, you don't know where that's going to make unsafe. So plus we have earthquakes, tidal waves, floods, volcanoes, you know, all that stuff going on right now too. So what you need is flexibility, and what a boat offers you. And I hope you're all good sailors. You should all really spend time learning how to be a crew together. That is so important. But what a boat gives you is options, and that's good. Thank you guys for writing in. Windermere Assassin, don't shoot me, man. Hey, Mike, another late night tonight as I sit and listen to the show. I saw your video blog last week, and oh boy, is it time. Just wishing you, the team, and all the other listeners out there, love and peace. Lee Deathcare Nelson. Oh, Lee, cool. He posts a lot of good stuff on Facebook, too. And thank you, man. I appreciate that. He was writing from the UK. So, hey, one good thing about the UK is all of their jails and prisons are totally full, so maybe they don't have any room to lock anybody else up. What do you think? But I'm pumped to him. From Doug Seward, he writes, hi, Mike. Please let your listeners know that starting now is a shockingly good time to buy physical silver for a long-term hold. Oh, indeed, yes, good. The price of paper silver spot market has been absolutely and intentionally crushed the past 3 days. Silver has dropped from around 40 to 30 an ounce. It's gone off a cliff, dropping 25%, and is still dropping at this minute. Once silver bottoms out, this is an incredible time to purchase more physical silver to add to your lifeboat. Doug, thank you so much for that. Gold has been massacred severely lately, as the news stories would have it. But I'm looking for the buy point on both silver and gold, too, if I had some money to buy. But you should be. What's happening here is as the equity markets and the financial markets have imploded, there's been a lot of margin calls. There's been a lot of short positions that have finished out of the money. And so a lot of gold has been liquidated. But clearly, I see an orchestrated campaign in the press to encourage people to dump all their gold. Well, that means that somebody else is buying them. is buying it, and it's the powers that be buying, because they know that after this next synchronized thing in the financial markets, which we're expecting next week, I mean, it has to be, that as they do that, all of a sudden gold is going to rebound like a rocket ship, and the same is true for silver. So yes, if you have, again, if you have your hard good needs met, if you have your physical issues taken care of, food, water, first aid, supplies, firearms if you need them, clothing, generators, all that stuff, if you have that stuff taken care of and you have some money, look for the buy points on both precious metals and do it. That'll clarify, and that'll allow me to clarify something else that's been brought up a couple times. I have never, ever, ever said that I endorse or approve a gold standard. I have said that it was inevitable that we were going back to, in the movie, The Money Masters, which is a great movie, greenbacks, debt-free money was the way to do it. But until we change the way money works, we change nothing. And given the way that money works now, it is inevitable that gold is going to have this monstrous breakout. Not that I advocate it. I advocate a totally resource-based economy and debt-free money. As I said, in Portland, I also advocate the forgiveness of all debt between people and corporations and banks and corporations and governments and corporations, banks. Debt forgiveness, that's someplace we're all going to realize that we have to get to sooner or later. So, okay, we got another one. Ben Williams. Hi, Ben. You've been talking about disinformation a lot recently. My question is, how can you so confidently recognize someone as disinformation agent rather than, say, an incompetent and or ideological reporter? I was shocked to hear you say earlier Amy Goodman was such a person. Though I'm no fan of hers, I have a hard time believing she and so many others are shadowy government agents. Incompetence usually seems more likely to me. Well, dude, if you've been around as long as I have and seen all of the documentation on Amy Goodman, I can tell you that after 9/11, I was the biggest fundraiser on WBAI 2 years in a row, and outraising, or maybe right after Amy Goodman. And there was an organized campaign to get me kicked off Pacifica, and Amy Goodman was at the forefront of that. She's a gatekeeper, and she is paid by Dow Jones Newswire. That's how she's syndicated. Rupert Murdoch owns Dow Jones Newswire, and I have spent 10 years watching her distract, ambush, mislead, and it's a standing joke among most of us here, most of us who walk in my circles, that her show is more appropriately titled Democracy Too Late. I mean, she hasn't been on point for anything about collapse or anything else, and that's one of her purposes, is to distract. I stand by my opinion. I do come from an intelligence background and a police background, and I have seen how disinformation works from the sowing side and from the reaping side. And I have a great many years being out here since I said CIA was dealing drugs in 1996, to see and learn how it operates and to recognize the patterns and the players involved. And they're all getting real weak right now. And they're all, not only that, they're all getting obvious. So I make no apologies. And, you know, if you want to think it's what was the line John Judge used to use in Washington and New York? He said, okay, you can call me a conspiracy theorist if I can call you a coincidence theorist. And I guess it kind of works the same way. Gee, it's amazing how all of this incompetence seems to work together in concert to further one agenda, which is to keep people from looking at the way money works. That's about the way that works. I'm looking now at, that's all the questions. We have some time if you want. Oop, here's a note in my other inbox from Robin Westenra, our mate down in New Zealand. Listening to your, okay. I'm assuming you sent this to me. Let me read this, everybody, so I can make sure he wants me to read this. Okay, I'm going to read this. Okay. Listening to your comments on Lifeboat Hour about this new movie with Amy Goodman, Catherine Austin Fitz, etc., I wanted to share my own experience. A few of us have had some dialogue with the local mayor about peak oil preparedness with the realization that there is little that can be done at this late hour. That's correct. While we were preparing, we had a member of the Green Party join us to get us to water down the message. Water down the message. Keep it 90%, otherwise no one will listen. He almost derailed the whole thing. As it happened, the mayor was already aware and concerned about peak oil, although his council is made up of zombies. People like this dominate the transition town movement here. It's a real frustration. And then came this. They've joined the zombies. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, Robin has been so helpful to us here. He arranged an interview on Radio New Zealand. He's a great fan on Facebook. And Green Party launches for a richer New Zealand. A richer New Zealand? Yeah, right. The Greens really have lost it. And yeah, that's what happens to any political party, unfortunately. You know, the stuff gets really, really thick. And it is obvious to see. And one of the ways, you know, that to avoid being taken in by disinformation is to follow the procedure that I've followed since I started. And it's work, which is I have to use the same standards of evidence that I would if I were a detective or a journalist. And when a sensational story or when a story comes up that is not sourced according to professional standards, where I can't find the people in there, where there's no names, where you know, where there aren't documents, where there isn't someone on the record, an official making a statement or someone making the statement in quotes, then you don't touch the story. And what I see in a lot of disinformation is you will see stories that are pretty long and pretty scary, and there'll be this hard fact and this hard fact and this hard fact and this hard fact, and then blah, 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 and then another hard fact, and it's the blah, blah, blah that isn't substantiated well enough. That's usually the poison pill. But also disinformation, too, is Carl Bernstein of Woodward and Bernstein made a great observation. He said that the most important decision that any journalist makes every day, I'm paraphrasing, is subjective. And it's what to print and where to print it. And I find that, you know, I do that on CollapseNet. All of that is subjective. And yet that influences so much. And I watched and it was a very painful learning experience from 1996 when I confronted John Deutsch all the way through 2006, 2007. I watched the progressive movement get derailed, get sidetracked, be unable to address any real significant issue directly. It always got spun out, or you know, space aliens came up quite a bit. I got a feeling we're going to be hearing more about aliens soon. But you watch that happen. But there are, you know, Mark Rabinowitz of oilempire.us. He's been an amazing researcher for a long time. He has done so much excellent work about gatekeepers and how, you know, how funding gets tied back, about disinformation, not only how to recognize it, but examples and, you know, incredible research on it. And he's been dead bang accurate for all these years. So anybody who has any more questions about disinfo, please do that. But just remember that the disinformation is becoming much more obvious now. Just like as you watch mainstream television, if you can anymore, and you see how the news stories or the, you know, it makes you gag. And they're not credible, and that's what we hope for. You know, the ultimate aha moment when people realize that everything they're being fed is a lie, at least officially. Not everything, not 100%, but there's poison in all of it. CNN just did something that was classic, and this is how the mind control scientists practice. remember that Frank Wisner, the guy named Frank Wisner, who was OSS during World War II, Office of Policy Coordination before the CIA was formed, and he was one of the founders of the CIA. His son, Frank Wisner Jr., sat on the board of directors of Citigroup, which was laundering drug money with Mexico's largest drug money banker. Anyway, Frank Wisner used to call the media the mighty Wurlitzer. And who are we to think it's just corporate media? One of the most important priorities of the people who run the financial money guys is to control all outlets, both the left and the right, as we see clearly happening with Democrats and Republicans who are conspiring to be out of town with an alibi as something huge happens next week. And so they spend a lot of money to set up, control, and infiltrate media on the so-called left and everything else. And but it's becoming more apparent now. It's becoming so much more obvious. And there are people telling the truth out here. And I still maintain, and I have for all these years, that if you use the same evidentiary standards that a police detective would or a lawyer would in terms of admissibility of evidence into court, you're going to pick it out more often than not. And you know, everybody's ultimately responsible for what they sign on to and accept. Consequences. I believe that Amy Goodman is really just incompetent, or I believe that the aliens are going to deliver all this free energy, which I can plug into my car. I don't know where we get the oil for the 10 calories of chemicals and, you know, all that stuff. Or, maybe it really is China versus the U.S. And, if, you know, there are consequences to believing that, and there are ways to avoid that. That's what I've devoted my life to, through two books and from the wilderness and all the work that I've done. Is to building a map that if people studied it long enough, as many have, I'm really so deeply appreciative of some of the great insights I get back from people who've learned the map, then you can figure it out for yourself. But there are consequences to what you choose to believe and whether or not you put the mental energy, the integrity, the honor into making sure that you're making good decisions with good information. Let me get back on that. That was a little, maybe that was needed. Okay. This is back from Jay Stern, boat guy. Thanks for the reply. We were thinking of a few places. We know a few people at Lake Victoria in BC. We know people in Costa Rica. But unlikely viable. Yeah, for several reasons. Of course, staying close to shore and keeping supplies on the boat is an option. Also, more out there possibility was going to Easter Islands or some remote. Okay, we're learning how to sail as a team. All right, keep all of those options open, but learn how to ask critical questions before you decide where to go. And one is, and the other thing is, prepare your boat with enough communications, satellite, radio, shortwave, everything, so that you can get live intelligence information. You can find out what's going on because the situation's going to be changing so rapidly that you're going to need that intel because you'd like to know if something blew up. Or, you know, a revolution started, whatever. From Frank Damiano, thank you for your continued hard works. I'm watching, but I watched the movie Awakening as One. Hold on, I'm taking some tea. After you wrote about it and your reflections on collapse, it certainly needs to be taken with a grain of salt. And 6 months ago, I would have dismissed it entirely. However, with everything going on in the world today, the concept of the quickening is something I feel every day, and I suspect I'm not the only one. Nobody's saying the quickening isn't happening. It's happening. I mean, that's the truth part. Awakening is one might take things too far, but Comet Elenin is real and is pretty, okay. This is about, Elenin has like no mass. It has no mass. It doesn't have enough mass from where it is to do anything like what's described in the movie. That's, again, the 90% truth. We checked on this at CollapseNet, and that's why we didn't choose to dignify that nonsense by discussing it, so I'm not gonna now. Okay. I got emails coming in all over the place. Advanced camp. Oh, hi, Mike. This is from Arizona Bay. Advanced camper question. I like those. They're down to the last couple of minutes. Knowing that the gods are not only going to, are not going to play nice in the sandbox, can we extract May info from their actions? Any info? I don't know what that means. I.e. mergers, hostile corporate takeovers, DSK, etc. about upcoming events. That's what I'm looking for, and I have seen no major events with Rupert Murdoch or DSK, Dominic Strauss-Kahn, or anything else. That's why I'm just sitting here holding my breath right now, man, trying to find out, trying to get a signal. They're playing this one really close to the vest. Okay. Somebody wants to know when I'm coming back to Seattle. I don't know. I'm sticking close to home, man. I'm sticking close to home for quite a while. Now, geez, I'm loaded with questions. And it's too late. We're running out of time tonight. So, okay, this is from last one, from Robin Westenra down in New Zealand. Keep it 90%, otherwise no one will listen. Yep, he almost derailed the whole thing. Should be keep it 90% positive, otherwise no one will listen. He almost derailed the whole thing. Thanks for reading out. Yeah, yeah, man. I got no patience for zombies, and I don't argue with them. I don't. You know, I smell a zombie event, and I just leave. It's a question of energy invested for energy returned. Hey, that's a neat thought. Net energy. All right. So, guys, everybody, we're all kind of on general quarters, ready to bring you anything that's breaking in, and as soon as we figure out, let you know what it is. It's going to be a hell of a week. Good news for everybody as I say good night. Charles Eisenstein, one of my favorite writers, author of Sacred Economics, is going to be my guest on the radio show on October 16th. Mark your calendars. I'm looking forward to that one. I'll be back with you next week on the Lifeboat Hour. Good night.